Seems like a good and noble thing to do, right? Well, hey, how are you today? This is the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible coming to you from Riverside, California, podcasting since 2004. I'm your OG Godcaster, Steve Webb. Welcome. This is the daily show where we're reading through the entire Bible in a year. Our reading today is 1 Chronicles 15 through 19, and after the reading, of course, I will have some comments for you. I'm calling today's episode, What a Promise! The show notes page for today's episode is at lifespringmedia.com/S12E244. If you'd like to send me an email, I'd love to get it. The best way to get an email to me is to send it to the right address, and that is steve@lifespringmedia.com. All right, let's get started.
1 Chronicles chapter 15. David constructed buildings for himself in the city of David. Then he prepared a place for the ark of God. He set up a tent for it. He said, "Only Levites can carry the ark of God. That's because the Lord chose them to carry his ark. He chose them to serve him forever in front of the place where his throne is." David gathered the whole community of Israel together in Jerusalem. He wanted to bring the ark of the Lord up to the place he had prepared for it. He called together the members of the family line of Aaron. He also called the Levites together. Here are the men who came from the families of the Levites. From the families of Kohath came the leader Uriel and 120 relatives. From the families of Merari came the leader Azaiah and 220 relatives. From the families of Gershon came the leader Joel and 130 relatives. From the families of Elizaphan came the leader Shemaiah and 200 relatives. From the families of Hebron came the leader Eliel and 80 relatives. From the families of Uzziel came the leader Aminadab and 112 relatives. David sent for the priests Zadok and Abiathar. He also sent for Uriel, Azaiah, Joel, Shemaiah, Eliel, and Aminadab. They were Levites. He said to them, "You are the leaders of the families of Levi. You and the other Levites must set yourself apart to serve the Lord and his people. You must pick up the ark of the Lord. He is the God of Israel. Put the ark in the place I've prepared for it. Remember when the anger of the Lord our God broke out against us? It was because you Levites didn't bring the ark up the first time. We didn't ask the Lord how to do it in the way the law requires." So the priests and Levites set themselves apart. Then they brought up the ark of the Lord. He is the God of Israel. This time the Levites used the poles to carry the ark of God on their shoulders. That's what Moses had commanded, in keeping with the word of the Lord. David told the Levite leaders to appoint their relatives as singers. He wanted them to sing joyful songs. He also wanted them to play lyres, harps, and cymbals along with their singing. So the Levites appointed Heman, the son of Joel. From his relatives they chose Asaph, the son of Berechiah. Other relatives were from the family of Merari. From them they chose Ethan, the son of Cushaiah. Along with them they chose their relatives who were next in line. Their names were Zechariah, Jaaziel, Shemiramoth, Jehiel, Unai, Eliab, Benaiah, Maaseiah, Mattathiah, Eliphelehu, Mikneah, Obed-Edom, and Jeiel. They guarded the gates. Heman, Asaph, and Ethan played the bronze cymbals. Zechariah, Aziel, Shemiramoth, Jehiel, Unai, Eliab, Maaseiah, and Benaiah played the high notes on the lyres. Mattathiah, Eliphelehu, Mikneah, Obed-Edom, Jeiel, and Azaziah played the low notes on the harps. Kenaniah was the leader of the Levites. He was in charge of the singing because he was good at it. Berechiah and Elkanah guarded the ark. Some of the priests blew trumpets in front of the ark of God. Their names were Shebaniah, Joshaphat, Nathanael, Amasai, Zechariah, Benaiah, and Eliezer. Obed-Edom and Jehiah also helped guard the ark. David and the elders of Israel went to bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord. So did the commanders of companies of 1,000 men. With great joy they brought the ark up from the house of Obed-Edom. God had helped the Levites who were carrying the ark of the covenant of the Lord. So 7 bulls and 7 rams were sacrificed. David was wearing a robe that was made out of fine linen. So were all of the Levites who were carrying the ark. And so were the singers and the choir director, Kenaniah. David was also wearing a sacred linen apron. So the whole community of Israel brought up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. They shouted, they blew ram's horns and trumpets, they played cymbals, lyres, and harps. The Ark of the Covenant of the Lord was brought into the city of David. Saul's daughter Michal was watching from a window. She saw King David dancing and celebrating. That made her hate him in her heart. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. They brought the Ark of God and placed it inside the special tent David had prepared for it, and they presented burnt offerings and peace offerings to God. When he had finished his sacrifices, David blessed the people in the name of the Lord. Then he gave to every man and woman in all Israel a loaf of bread, a cake of dates, and a cake of raisins. David appointed the following Levites to lead the people in worship before the Ark of the Lord, to invoke his blessings, to give thanks, and to praise the Lord, the God of Israel. Asaph, the leader of this group, sounded the cymbals. Second to him was Zechariah, followed by Jeiel, Shemiramoth, Jehiel, Mattathiah, Eliab, Benaiah, Obed-Edom, and Jeiel. They played the harps and lyres. The priests, Benaiah and Jehaziel, played the trumpets regularly before the Ark of God's covenant. On that day, David gave to Asaph and his fellow Levites this song of thanksgiving to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord and proclaim his greatness. Let the whole world know what he has done. Sing to him, yes, sing his praises. Tell everyone about his wonderful deeds. Exult in his holy name. Rejoice, you who worship the Lord. Search for the Lord and for his strength. Continually seek him. Remember the wonders he has performed, his miracles, and the rulings he has given, you children of his servant Israel, you descendants of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His justice is seen throughout the land. Remember his covenant forever, the commitment he made to 1,000 generations. This is the covenant he made with Abraham and the oath he swore to Isaac. He confirmed it to Jacob as a decree, and to the people of Israel as a never-ending covenant. I will give you the land of Canaan as your special possession. He said this when you were few in number, a tiny group of strangers in Canaan. They wandered from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another. Yet he did not let anyone oppress them. He warned kings on their behalf, "Do not touch my chosen people and do not hurt my prophets." Let the whole earth sing to the Lord. Each day proclaim the good news that he saves. Publish his glorious deeds among the nations. Tell everyone about the amazing things he has done. Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. The gods of other nations are mere idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty surround him. Strength and joy fill his dwelling. O nations of the world, recognize the Lord. Recognize that the Lord is glorious and strong. Give to the Lord the glory he deserves. Bring your offering and come into his presence. Worship the Lord in all his holy splendor. Let all the earth tremble before him. The world stands firm and cannot be shaken. Let the heavens be glad and the earth rejoice. Tell all the nations the Lord reigns. Let the sea and everything in it shout his praise. Let the fields and their crops burst out with joy. Let the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Cry out, "Save us, O God of our salvation. Gather and rescue us from among the nations, so we can thank your holy name and rejoice and praise you." Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, who lives from everlasting to everlasting. And all the people shouted, "Amen," and praised the Lord. David arranged for Asaph and his fellow Levites to serve regularly before the Ark of the Lord's covenant, doing whatever needed to be done each day. This group included Obed-Edom, son of Jeduthun, Hosa, and 68 other Levites as gatekeepers. Meanwhile, David stationed Zadok the priest and his fellow priests at the tabernacle of the Lord at the place of worship in Gibeon, where they continued to minister before the Lord. They sacrificed the regular burnt offerings to the Lord each morning and evening on the altar set aside for that purpose, obeying everything written in the law of the Lord as he had commanded Israel. David also appointed Heman, Jeduthun, and the others chosen by name to give thanks to the Lord, for his faithful love endures forever. They used their trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments to accompany their songs of praise to God. And the sons of Jeduthun were appointed as gatekeepers. Then all the people returned to their homes, and David turned and went home to bless his own family. 1 Chronicles chapter 17. David moved into his palace. Then he spoke to Nathan the prophet. He said, "Here I am, living in a house that has beautiful cedar walls, but the ark of the covenant of the Lord is under a tent." Nathan replied to David, "Do what you want to. God is with you." But that night a message came to Nathan from God. He said, "Go and speak to my servant David. Tell him, 'The Lord says, you are not the one who will build me a house to live in. I have not lived in a house from the day I brought Israel up out of Egypt until now. I have moved my tent from one place to another. I have moved my home from one place to another. I have moved from place to place with all the Israelites. I commanded their leaders to be shepherds over my people. I have never asked any of those leaders, 'Why haven't you built me a house that has beautiful cedar walls?' So tell my servant David, 'The Lord who rules over all says, I took you away from the grasslands. That is where you were taking care of your father's sheep and goats. I appointed you ruler over my people Israel. I have been with you everywhere you have gone. I destroyed all your enemies when you were attacking them. Now I will make you famous. Your name will be just as respected as the names of the most important people on earth. I will provide a place where my people Israel can live. I will plant them in the land. Then they will have a home of their own. They will not be bothered anymore. Sinful people will no longer crush them as they did at first. That is what your enemies have done ever since I appointed leaders over my people Israel. But I will bring all your enemies under your control. I tell you that I, the Lord, will build a royal house for your family. Someday your life will come to an end. You will join the members of your family who have already died. Then I will give you one of your own sons to become the next king after you. I will make his kingdom secure. He is the one who will build me a house. I will set up his throne. It will last forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son. I took my love away from the man who ruled before you, but I will never take my love away from your son. I will place him over my house and my kingdom forever. His throne will last forever." Nathan reported to David all the words that the Lord had spoken to him. Then King David went into the holy tent. He sat down in front of the Lord. He said, "Lord God, who am I? My family isn't important. So why have you brought me this far? I would have thought that you had already done more than enough for me. But now, my God, you have spoken about my royal house. You have said what will happen to it in days to come. Lord God, you have treated me as if I were the most honored man of all. What more can I say to you for honoring me? You know all about me. Lord, you have done a wonderful thing. You have given me many great promises. All of them are for my good. They are exactly what you wanted to give me. Lord, there isn't anyone like you. There isn't any God but you. We have heard about it with our own ears. Who is like your people Israel? God, we are the one nation on earth you have saved. You have set us free for yourself. Your name has become famous. You have done great and wonderful things. You have driven out nations to make room for your people. You saved us when you set us free from Egypt. You made Israel your very own people forever. Lord, you have become our God. And now, Lord, let the promise you have made to me and my royal house stand forever. Do exactly as you promised. When your promise comes true, your name will be honored forever. People will say, 'The Lord rules over all. He is the God over Israel. He is Israel's God.' My royal house will be made secure in your sight. My God, you have shown me that you will build me a royal house, so I can pray to you boldly. You, Lord, are God. You have promised many good things to me. You have been pleased to bless my royal house. Now it will continue forever in your sight. Lord, you have blessed it, and it will be blessed forever." 1 Chronicles chapter 18. While David was king of Israel, he won many battles over the Philistines. He brought them under his control. He took Gath away from the Philistines. He also captured the villages around Gath. David also won the battle over the people of Moab. They were brought under his rule. They gave him the gifts he required them to bring him. David fought against Hadad-Ezer in the area of Hamath. Hadad-Ezer was king of Zobah. He had gone to set up his monument at the Euphrates River. David captured 1,000 of Hadad-Ezer's chariots, 7,000 chariot riders, and 20,000 soldiers on foot. He cut the legs of all but 100 of the chariot horses. The Arameans of Damascus came to help Hadad-Ezer, the king of Zobah, but David struck down 22,000 of them. David stationed some soldiers at the Aramean kingdom of Damascus. The people of Aram were brought under his rule. They gave him the gifts he required them to bring him. The Lord helped David win his battles wherever he went. David took the gold shields carried by the officers of Hadad-Ezer. He brought the shields to Jerusalem. He took a huge amount of bronze from Teba and Kun. Those towns belonged to Hadad-Ezer. Later, Solomon used the bronze to make the huge bronze bowl for washing. He also used it to make pillars and many other bronze objects for the temple. Tou was king of Hamath. He heard that David had won the battle over the entire army of Hadad-Ezer, the king of Zobah. So Tou sent his son Hadoram to King David. Hadoram greeted David. He praised him because David had won the battle over Hadad-Ezer. Hadad-Ezer had been at war with Tou. So Hadoram brought David all kinds of things made out of gold, of silver, and of bronze. King David set those things apart for the Lord. He had done the same thing with the silver and gold he had taken from other nations. The nations were Edom, Moab, Ammon, Philistia, and Amalek. Abishai struck down 18,000 men of Edom in the Valley of Salt. Abishai was the son of Zeruiah. Abishai stationed some soldiers in Edom. The whole nation of Edom was brought under his rule. The Lord helped David win his battles wherever he went. David ruled over the whole nation of Israel. He did what was fair and right for all his people. Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was commander over the army. Jehoshaphat, the son of Eliad, kept the records. Zadok, the son of Ahitub, was a priest. Ahimelech, the son of Abiathar, was also a priest. Shesha was the secretary. Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, was commander over the Kerethites and Pelethites. And King David's sons were the chief officials who served at his side. 1 Chronicles chapter 19. When Nahash, king of the Ammonites, died, his son became king after him. David said, "Nahash was loyal to me, so I will be loyal to his son Hanan." So David sent messengers to comfort Hanan about his father's death. David's officers went to the land of the Ammonites to comfort Hanan. But the Ammonite leaders said to Hanan, "Do you think David wants to honor your father by sending men to comfort you? No. David sent them to study the land and capture it and spy it out." So Hanan arrested David's officers. To shame them, he shaved their beards and cut off their clothes at the hips. Then he sent them away. When the people told David what had happened to his officers, he sent messengers to meet them, because they were very ashamed. King David said, "Stay in Jericho until your beards have grown back, then come home." The Ammonites knew that they had insulted David. So Hanan and the Ammonites sent about 24,000 pounds of silver to hire chariots and chariot drivers from northwest Mesopotamia, Aramaica, and Zobah. The Ammonites hired 32,000 chariots and the king of Maacah and his army. So they came and set up camp near the town of Medeba. The Ammonites themselves came out of their towns and got ready for battle. When David heard about this, he sent Joab with the whole army. The Ammonites came out and prepared for battle at the city gate. The kings who had come to help were out in the field by themselves. Joab saw that there were enemies both in front of him and behind him. So he chose some of the best soldiers of Israel and sent them out to fight the Arameans. Joab put the rest of the army under the command of Abishai, his brother. Then they went out to fight the Ammonites. Joab said to Abishai, "If the Arameans are too strong for me, you must help me. Or if the Ammonites are too strong for you, I will help you. Be strong. We must fight bravely for our people and the cities of our God. The Lord will do what he thinks is right." Then Joab and the army with him went to attack the Arameans, and the Arameans ran away. When the Ammonites saw that the Arameans were running away, they also ran away from Joab's brother Abishai and went back to their city. So Joab went back to Jerusalem. When the Arameans saw that Israel had defeated them, they sent messengers to bring other Arameans from east of the Euphrates River. Their leader was Shophak, the commander of Hadad-Ezer's army. When David heard about this, he gathered all the Israelites, and they crossed over the Jordan River. He prepared them for battle, facing the Arameans. The Arameans fought with them, but they ran away from the Israelites. David killed 7,000 Aramean chariot drivers and 40,000 Aramean foot soldiers. He also killed Shophak, the commander of the Aramean army. When those who served Hadad-Ezer saw that the Israelites had defeated them, they made peace with David and served him. So the Arameans refused to help the Ammonites again.
Well, in chapter 17, we're told that David looked at the palace that he'd built for himself and he thought, I should build an appropriate place for the Ark of the Covenant. Seems like a good and noble thing to do, right? Well, the prophet Nathan agreed, so he told David to go ahead with a project. But God spoke to Nathan that night, telling him that he had not asked for a house, and it was not David who would build one for him. I like what Charles Spurgeon said. Though the Lord refused to David the realization of his wish, he did it in a most gracious manner. He did not put the idea away from him in anger or disdain, as though David had cherished an unworthy desire, but he honored his servant even in the non-acceptance of his offer. Beloved, when we want to do something for God from a pure and loving heart, I believe He's pleased. Of course, even our best efforts and greatest gifts to Him are far short of what He has done for us, but a loving Father finds pleasure in His children's gifts. When my oldest son was about 5 or 6 years old, he found a red brick at the beach that had obviously been tossed around by the waves for a very long time, because all the corners and edges on it had been rounded and smoothed by the sand and water. Well, he thought it was a wonderful and unique treasure, and he gave it to me as a gift. You know what? I still have that brick, and that little 5 or 6-year-old boy will be 40 years old this year. I have moved homes many times since he gave it to me, but every time I look at it, it brings warm memories. Well, even though God turned David's offer down, God did something that David would never have anticipated. God told David that he was going to build a house for David, one that would last forever. God promised David that he would have a descendant on the throne forever. As you probably know, David's son Solomon ruled after him, and Solomon built a magnificent temple for God. And many generations after Solomon ruled over Israel until they suffered God's judgment for turning away from him. But even then, God did not forget his promise to David. And of course, Jesus came from David's line. So God's promise to David is even now being fulfilled. David's response was thankfulness and humility. Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that you have brought me this far? Indeed, who am I, God, that you would give your son's life for me? Who am I? Thank you, Lord. I owe you everything, yet you have been so gracious to me. Lord, what may I do for you? I give you my life. I give you my all. I'd love to hear your comments. Go to lifespringmedia.com/S12E244. Our reading tomorrow will be Psalms 105 through 107. Well, the other day I read to you a comment I got from Kirsty saying that she was on the road and hoping to get caught up on some of her shows. Well, I got two comments from her today on two different shows. The first one was from our episode on 1 Timothy 1 and 2, Before There Was Time. She said, thanks, Paul and Steve, for the commentary today. I know I've grown in my faith incrementally from age 16 to 40. Kirsty, is that a hint on what your age is? And she continues, and I have faith that it will keep growing as I spend more time with God and His Word. Incidentally, just this week I was thinking about how I used to have a foul mouth to rival a sailor when I was a teen, and how one day I decided that I shouldn't do that anymore, and I stopped. It just dawned on me this week that it wasn't me who decided. It was with the leading and help of the Holy Spirit. Don't ask me why it took me 25 years to figure that out. That's very good, Kirsty. And then her other comment that came in this morning was on the Numbers 5 through 8 episode, God's Benediction. She said, I've always loved that benediction. We have a few preachers that end their sermons with it, but I've never really thought to read it in context or break it down. It's even sweeter having looked into it thought by thought. Kirsty, I agree. It's a beautiful benediction. And that's often how Scripture is. The more you dig into it, the more you learn to appreciate it, the more is revealed to you. I love studying the Bible, and it's fun for me to share it with you. So I'm glad you got something out of it. Remember, beloved, anytime you want to, anytime something kind of dawns on you, it'd be great if you'd go to the show notes page for that episode and share your thoughts. Thanks, Kirsty. On this date in church history, May 3rd, 1850, John Herr, or could be Herr, H-E-R-R, who was the founder of the Reformed Mennonite Church, passed away. He was from Pennsylvania and served primarily in Western New York and Ontario. And on this date in church history, May 3rd, 1987, three Lutheran bodies, the Lutheran Church, the American Lutheran Church, and the Association of Evangelical Lutheran Churches, merged to form the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, the largest Lutheran denomination in the United States. The new denomination was officially formed on January 1, 1988. We need to lift up Kathy in prayer again. She's having some pain again. The pain is on her right side, and it radiates to her core. And she's been having to go to bed between 8 and 9 because of the pain. She does have some pain medication, but evidently it doesn't carry her through the day. So let's pray for her. And most of you know that I also have a windshield repair business. And I was out today to do a repair for a fellow, and this is the first time we had met. He found me on the internet, gave me a call, made an appointment. And as I was working on his car, I said something about the Lord. I forgot what it was, but he responded, and he's a Christian. And it turns out that this guy is somewhere in his 50s. He looks to be maybe in his late 50s. But some time ago, he really went through some difficult health problems. He ended up being in the hospital, if I remember our conversation right. He was in the hospital for 2 years. He had some open heart surgery. He had a stroke. He had some other things. He got infections, and it took them that long before all of the infection left his body. He lost half of his, his liver, his spleen ruptured, and on and on. He seems to still be struggling health-wise, but his name is Tom. And he really is a dear brother in the Lord. We had a great time. We practically had church as I was standing there working on his car. And afterward, we had a wonderful conversation. His wife was there as well. And we just had a little prayer meeting. It was really great. But let's lift up Tom and his wife in prayer as well. So let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for everything you've done for us. Even though we owe you everything, you have given us so much. You've given us a life. You've given us salvation. You've given us eternal life if we've placed our faith in Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for that. That's like I said a few shows back, Dayenu. Just salvation would have been enough, but you love to lavish gifts on your children, and we are so thankful to be recipients of your love. Lord, I pray for Kathy right now, Lord, that you would help with her pain. Lord, help the doctors to manage the pain. We ask you, Lord, for healing for Kathy. It's been so very long. And I know that you have a plan for her, but it's hard sometimes to watch people that you love hurt. And so again, Lord, I just ask you to heal her. Help Del, Lord, as he tries to take care of her. And one more time, Lord, I just put them in your hands and ask you to bring healing. I thank you, God, for the work you've done in Tom's life. I thank you for bringing us into a friendship today. And I pray, Lord, that you would minister to both him and his wife as they serve you in any way that they can. And it sounds, Lord, like they've got a great prayer ministry. And so I pray, God, that you would bless them and help them as they serve you. They love you. It's obvious. I thank you, Lord, that you've brought healing to him. Lord, you are so good. And I thank you, Lord, for the LifeSpring family, each one that's listening now. I pray, God, that you would bless them in a very special way. May they feel your presence with them even now as they listen and as they participate in this prayer. We love you, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you would use us in any way that you want. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have a prayer request, go to prayer.lifespringmedia.com. Fill out the form there. The website will send your prayer request to me. I'll pray for you in my private prayer time, and we'll pray together on the show. Well, until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. I've enjoyed our time together today. I hope you can say the same. My name is Steve Webb. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.